Hi, and welcome to Christian Homeschool Moms Podcast. I'm Demetria, your host, and today we are going to be continuing with our book club, and again, I'll be replaying The Great Balancing Act, which is a book that I studied with Lori Arriaga of Christian Women's Resources back in 2006. This podcast was recorded many years ago, and I thought it would be a great idea to replay a lot of what we did back then because it does relate to the Christian homeschool mom. So I'm going to go ahead and start the audio recording now because it is fairly long. You'll be looking at about an hour of this recording. So go ahead and grab your cup of tea or coffee and turn up your volume and enjoy. Thanks.
Lori and I have been talking about all the many concepts of this book. The author, Pat Harrison, has some great truths here that are just revealing of who we are as women and where we need to be. So let's start with chapter 6 this week. In the title of this part of the book, it's part 2, and this part is called A Wife by Choice. It starts with chapter 6 that is called A Godly Wife. And so Lori and I are going to talk about this now, what it means to be a godly wife and some of the truths found in this chapter. And, Lord, if you want to start us off with any concepts that really were kind of popped out at you in this chapter, that would be great.
Okay. Well, quite a few different concepts here in this chapter that were really great. Of course, the whole idea of being our husband's suitable helper is always kind of something that people kind of, in the world anyways, cringe upon, sort of, you know, because they look at it as, you know, they're not as important in the marriage. You know, they're somehow beneath their husbands, but that's you know, not at all what being a suitable helper is to our husbands. And I like how she really discusses it in her book here. And she goes on to explain that what a helpmeet is the word help is to give aid and assistance, and to surround in order to protect. So we're trying. God wants us to give aid and assistance to our husbands, and to surround him in order to protect him. And it's kind of cool just to see that, you know, God has given us that responsibility, and it's a privilege really to know that he has that much confidence in us. And
and the it's a big responsibility,
word,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very big responsibility, definitely. So it's definitely not that we're beneath our husbands at all. You know, it just shows that we have value. You know, like she says, you know, God sees us valuable and precious. You know, and we should see ourselves that way too.
That's so true. I like that she talks about surrounding in order to protect our husbands, and to think about what it means to surround our husbands with aid and assistance really means to surround him with prayers and support. And I know that I haven't been doing all of this exactly as I've read, because I can see areas in my life where I could be a lot more supportive of my husband. And, you know, we think we've got it together and we think we're being supportive until we realize, hey, let me take a little, you know, a soul check here and see just how supportive I am of my spouse. And I didn't realize just how, just the way God wants us to see our relationship with our spouse, has so much more meaning. It's so much more deep, I guess is what I want to say, than what I've considered even since the beginning of my marriage. And it's just been that whole everyday married life, do what you got to do, you know, make a little money and support your family and whatever you do. But it's so much more deeper than that if we can learn how to pray. And I didn't know just how powerful we are as women, how powerful our prayers are for our husbands, because it's so easy just to say, bless them, Lord, you know, help them, Lord, protect them, Lord. But it's so much deeper than that. And that's how we assist our husbands. And I like that she brought out on page 87 how that we are to adapt to our husbands, and that's a hard one for me.
Yeah.
Just adapting, you know, because I have my own way of doing things. You know, I've been very Miss Independent even before I got married. So for me to just, like, adapt. You know, that hasn't been the easiest thing for me. So that's something that I can work on, and I know a lot of our listeners can relate to that, that God wants us to learn how to adapt to our husband because we were made for him. And
we were made to adapt He gave us the ability to adapt. Our husbands weren't created as adaptable, you know, needing to be adaptable to anyone. So we were
made leaders.
For him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the leaders. They're the ones that need to be the strong ones and really lead us. But that just needing to be adaptable, that's something that I am always learning too, of course, and I think it's a never-ending, you know, thing. We're always going to be learning how better we can adapt to our husbands. But I know before just how I never would even consider adapting, you know, until I really started digging into the Word of God. And you can't appreciate the role that God has given us as a wife. And you can't be the suitable helper He intends for you to be until you really start to dig into the Word of God to see what the true meaning of it is instead of looking at it as just submission and, you know, you don't have a say, you know, which so many people tend to just cling to that thinking instead, but it's not at all. So that's why I think, too, you know, her whole first section of her book was making sure you're strong and solid in your relationship with God and learning how to dig into the Word and let that Word, you know, turn you into, you know, what God wants you to be for your life.
Right.
Then you can be the wife that God intends you to be for Him.
Exactly. This is in order. I like how she's got everything in order here.
Yeah.
The page 86, she says something that I thought was really cool. It's like next to the last paragraph, and she says, one meaning of the word cleave in the Hebrew is to never stop chasing or to catch by pursuit. And then she says, in other words, if you continually surround your husband with aid and assistance, he will never stop chasing you. He will want you with him all the time because your presence in his life makes him complete. Now, that is a powerful statement. And that made me really sit back and see how much God has given us women. I mean, we are so blessed to be women because we, you know, we have, not only do we have power and authority to pray over our families, but we have so much influence over our husband and, of course, our children as well, but that even just by our giving of that love, you know, in other words, you know, giving you shall receive, but as we give from ourselves to our husbands, then he, in turn, wants to just give to us, and, you know, at least that's the way it should be, and he should be chasing us. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I like on page 87, she
attention.
Says. Yeah, she says that it's about what your husband can do for you. No, she said, you see, it isn't about what your husband can do for you, but what you can do for him.
Yeah.
And that, you know,
and then that helps that our husbands be who they are called to be in God to make the changes and adapt as he needs to. And he'll even want to because he's, you know, has the pleasure and delight in us that he, you know, is desiring from us. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Well, there's a flip side to it.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Is saying how being adaptable isn't meant to keep you from being the woman that God calls you to be. And that's what a lot of people have trouble with.
I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah. And it's all a matter of just really putting our priorities in order. And really, once you start to dig into the Word of God and really learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, and it's a thing that we're always learning, too. It's not a thing that you arrive at, you know, always. You got to always, you know, make sure you're open to listening to the Holy Spirit day by day, you know, listening to what the Word has to say, listening to how He's going to speak to you through other people, and through sermons and whatever.
Amen.
So it's an everyday thing that we have to just always be open to seeing how God is going to speak to us and how we need to respond to our husbands and adapt to Him in different situations, even throughout our day, 10 times a day, you know. It's like,
yeah.
And when we are listening to the Holy Spirit and in the Word, we're able to have peace that, okay, you know, this may not be exactly how I would do it, you know, but I'm going to put my priorities in order, and I know that it's, you know, God's going to bless it, and it's going to work out because I'm putting my priorities in order. And it may not be what I, you know, exactly like, you know, but it'll work out.
It's all about priorities.
Yeah.
Yep, that's true. You're right. And then, like you were saying, you know, it doesn't keep us from being who we're supposed to be. We have to be who God wants us to be first, and then we can line up with, you know, who we need to be for others, for our family. On page 89, just because a wife is to be adaptable to her husband does not mean she's supposed to let him run all over her and push her into a mold of how he thinks she should be. So that's very, very important, because there's a flip side to everything. And we can go in either one extreme or the other. And like you said earlier, you know, there are a lot of women who, including ourselves, who in the beginning the word submission just sounds like a dirty word. And we're not, you know, accustomed to how God sees submission. So when we hear about it, we think, man, does that mean I have to get all run over all the time and be treated like a doormat?
Yeah.
So then we go to the far extreme and become extremists about being our own person and not having to do anything for anyone else. Or, you know, we can become a feminist, or we can go to the other extreme and just become a doormat. So God doesn't want us to be on either side. He wants us to be right in the middle and have our priorities straight, have a level head, a sound mind, and do it His way. And His way is perfect. There's no too hot, too cold. We're just going to be where we need to be. And so that's why I think she stressed becoming a woman of excellence and learning how, you know, to hear from the Lord. That way we can have that wisdom, understanding, and discernment that we need. This chapter was good. I just loved everything about it.
I also, I also like how she mentions, you know, it does take work to achieve your goals. And you shouldn't have just goals for your work and business. You know, you should have goals also for your marriage. And
that's a thought.
Yeah. And you got to strive to work at having a great marriage. It's not going to come easy at all. Where she also talks about in Proverbs 12:4, where it says a wife of noble character is her husband's crown. And she goes into what a crown it means. A crown means to encircle for attack or protection. So when we are being our husband's crown, we are also encircling him for attack from protection. And in order to do that, though, we have to have a purposeful intent to be the wife God intends us to be. So that shows us it takes work on our part. It takes us making goals on our part for our marriage. You know, she mentions how, you know, we have a moral force of character within us that will help keep us standing steadfast in the midst of all the situations that do come up, the trials and that in our marriages. So I really liked how she had talked about that. And through our prayers and digging in the Word to see how it is we can be all that God wants us to be for our husbands. That's part of, you know, your work. You're trying to set your goals to make a great marriage, you know, for the what God has blessed you with. So
that's true. We have to have goals.
Definitely.
Like, just like we need goals for our business and goals for our, you know, daily tasks. You know, we as women, we're so good at making those little to-do lists. You know, we have our shopping lists, and so we're good at being task oriented and organized. Or for the most of us are, for the most part, we have to get organized in order to stay sane. So, even with, you know, organizing our homes or whatever, we tend to have goals and priorities, we have to learn to apply that to our marriage too. I think so often, like you said, I think so often we neglect to put emphasis on taking care of our marriage by having goals for our marriage. And we tend to just take it for granted. Oh, he's there. He's working. He's home. He's this, that, whatever. And she talks about that later on, too. We're going to get to that chapter in a moment. I just wanted to say one more thing about this chapter. At, I think it's page 100, she starts talking about how that one of the things that we're supposed to be doing is to make our home a place of peace.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important. I have been to houses, like she said before, like she had people at her house that slept in her guest room, and they got up the next morning and said, you know, I slept so well, this house is so peaceful, and I can feel the presence of God here. And that's what I want to make I want my house to be the kind of home where people can come in and just feel the presence of God and be so peaceful. And that comes through the woman of the house. That woman has to have a prayer life and a relationship with the Lord, and that's going to set the tone for the whole home, including the people in her home. It's going to affect everyone. So we are very influential within our families just by being I don't want to say the back burner, but not always being in the limelight, but being behind the scenes and praying when no one is looking and when no one knows that you're interceding for them. And then that just makes a whole difference.
Definitely. Yeah. I was when I read that part too, I was thinking it's so true, because when our homes are cluttered and mm-hmm. even when our, for instance, I was just working the other day on my computer, and it's just so easy to get so many emails and just so much things that you've downloaded and mm-hmm. so much, to the point where you can't even think straight, don't even know, okay, what am I supposed to do now? You know, what's next? You know, I just have so much that needs to be done, and you can't, and you're not able to be at peace and know, mm-hmm. okay, this is what I need to do now. This is my responsibility to take care mm-hmm. of now. You know, it truly does clutter your mind when there's clutter in the home, or you know, clutter, you know,
on the
computer. You know, it's just all that clutter does nothing but distract you from your real responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's what I've been doing actually this past week, is really trying to declutter my home and my computer,
uh-huh.
because I've just been so unfocused with what I need to do myself, and until I really get that taken care of, I'm not able to really sense peace and knowing, okay, I feel good, this is what I'm doing now, I don't feel like I'm neglecting something else now because I've got things in order now. So
right, that's I agree with you completely, because and, you know, I'm looking here right now at my office, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, I could be a lot more organized. And it does totally distract you from being focused on what you need to be on. And I think that helps, too, with when our husbands come home and they feel that, you know, the house is clean and it's mm-hmm. organized. It doesn't always have to be spotless. But, you know, for the most part, if we can keep things sort of organized, and even if there's a bunch of junk, if we can organize it into a pile until we're ready to take care of it and, you know, make sure it's not scattered all over the place, that helps in the home. And with our children, I've noticed that even with when she was two, she's four now, but with my 4-year-old daughter when she was younger, and still now, if the house is not clean, like if there's clutter, if there's, you know, stuff in her, even in her bedroom, she gets antsy and her behavior changes drastically. And until we go in her bedroom and clean up her room, she's going to behave that way. And I know it's because of the clutter and the mess. So we go in and clean it together. And then I notice this restfulness. You know, she's more peaceful about being in a room. She's quiet. She can read and just sit down and, you know. So it really makes a difference in the the feelings of our family members when there's clutter. Yeah.
It's
let's go
cool
to chapter
that you can
seven.
Actually see it in such a small child, even, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if I can see it in her, then I know my husband must feel the same way. If we have, like, because our office has always been just, you know, we have to continually upkeep this office, because this is where we live practically. We do everything here. He has his computer, I have mine, and we work, you know, we have our home-based business here. And so when, you know, at the end of the day, you're so busy with clients and whatever, and you just kind of put your papers there and they stack up, you know, and until someone has the time to sit down and organize that stuff, it can become a mess, and then you're not able to think. So that's one of my goals after reading this, you know, in this book. One of my goals is to really begin to organize our office, and I think that's going to really help us to get focused even on our business goals. So I know that doesn't have anything to do with marriage, but I think that's going to help. And so it's kind of a continuation of Chapter 6. So now we are on Chapter 7, and the name of this chapter is The Wife God Created You to Be. And so beginning on page 103, Pat Harrison starts to talk about how we need to relate to our husbands, and, you know, by having that intimacy with the Lord. So the reason that we need to, it's so important that before we ever get married, to establish our relationship with the Father, with Jesus. And that experience, that intimacy, will cause us to be able to be more effective in our marriage. And so unlike how she starts off the whole chapter with the fact that, you know, we need to be close to the Lord first, and then that kind of spills off into our relationship with our husband. Let's see. I'm just looking through my notes here to see if there's anything that really caught my attention, because this chapter really is kind of an overflow from the previous chapter. If you can, if there's anything that kind of stood out at you, you can go ahead and talk about that.
Well, the thing that really stood out to me was when she talked about if your husband is not living according to the Word of God, that we are to win him over by our godly life, not by our discussion or preaching at him. You know, if, you know, a lot of times we get so excited we end up preaching rather than just, you know, letting our godly life preach to him, you know, without our instead of our words, use our life to be the example for him to see. And I know that's something that I really had to learn myself, and I continually have to remind myself, because probably now 8-10 years ago now, we both were part of a very legalistic church, and it hurt both of our relationships with God very badly, because we didn't know who we could trust anymore when it came to church. And my husband, you know, still struggles with that a little bit, but he's really come a long way. And when I started really learning to, after we left that church, to learn how to get my relationship back with God on my own without the legalism, my husband wasn't there yet. You know, he just still had his shield up. And so I can totally relate to this, because, you know, I kept trying to, you know, show him what God was showing me through the Word, and just, you know, couldn't understand why, you know, he's not getting it as quickly as I did, you know. So that's really...
That can be frustrating.
Really got to me. And I saw that, I just need to really work on my own life and my, you know, be a godly wife to him. And not until I started doing that did I start to see changes in my husband. So
That is so true. Yeah, that the husband is won over by the, what is it? By our behavior. He watches how we behave and what we do.
And he was watching me, and I could tell he was really watching me, because coming from the legalistic church that we were a part of, he really looked at everything I did to see if I was doing it out of legalism, you know. So it was, part of me was really even hesitant to, you know, read my Bible and pray, because I kept thinking, he's just going to think I'm doing it out of legalism.
All right.
You know, and so part of it held me back, but then finally I just got you know, tired of it. And I said, I've just got to work on my own relationship and not worry about it. You know, and then hopefully he'll see. And
right.
I've just been amazed at how God has answered prayer and how God has really moved in his heart after he has helped me to just put my focus on myself instead of, you know, expecting him to be exactly where I'm at, you know.
Exactly. That's a really good point about legalism. That messes up a lot of, actually, you know, that messes up a lot of families and breaks apart some marriages. And so legalism is a big issue all to itself. We could do a whole new radio program on that. But, yeah, that the fact that our husbands are watching how we behave and what we do and not so much listening to us nag and what we have to say to him all the time, but actually watching our behavior. And that's how... That's why I'm just so amazed at how much influence that we women have in our families. We have so much influence, and sometimes we don't realize that.
And they also, which she brought up in her book too, that you cannot let your church and your ministry come before your husband and your family. And that's exactly what they taught. They taught that the ministry comes before anything. And they didn't care much that you neglected your family that much. I mean, yeah, they'd still try and teach you a little bit to be there for your husband and your family, but really the main push and what they taught was ministry, and you know, pretty much work yourself into the ground, and you'd be everyone would be just
working for the church
and wore out because. You know, they didn't expect, they figured, you don't need that much sleep. You know, God will take care of you. You know, you got to be out working for the Lord. You know, and
that's rough.
It was pretty, it was pretty legalistic. And,
oh, my goodness.
So when, after we had left the church and when I finally, you know, came to the point where I had to work on my own relationship with God and get it back to where I knew it needed to be, I knew I could not... I wanted the fellowship of another church. I wanted to be able to meet with other women and fellowship with women, too. But I knew coming from the other church, and my husband was still very hurt by it and not not even close to where I was at the time to see that other churches are, you know, good out there. They're not all like the one we were a part of, you know.
Right.
And, so I had to step back and think, okay, how am I going to grow spiritually if I cannot be involved in fellowship in a church, and so I had to take it really slow and not get involved as I wanted to. But eventually, you know, I got to be a little more and more involved because he started to see that I wasn't put in the church and the ministry before, you know, my family and my husband.
Right.
You know, so,
that was so important that you were able to do that, that you recognized that it was important.
It was hard because, I mean, I felt like I needed it so badly myself for my own spiritual walk with God. I felt like I was just all alone at the time. But I think God really taught me to dig deep on my own and not rely on others to dig, you know, teach, you know, show me to dig deep. You know, it's like, we need the fellowship, but you got to learn to do it yourself first. And I think God had taught me how to do it on my own first before, you know, we were able to get involved with another church as a family. So
Oh, that's important. What he was doing was building you up in your own foundation so that when you went to the next church, you already had what you needed. And I had to learn that over the past couple of years when my husband and I were looking for a church. And, you know, we were looking for somewhere that we would feel like this is it, you know, for some time at least, where we can be spiritually grounded. But then I felt the need to fellowship so badly with, you know, just one certain group, you know, one fellowship, one church. But we didn't settle down to one church until just recently. Mm-hmm. And during that time, the Lord was showing me how to really just get in His Word for myself and get rooted.
Yeah.
So that when we did get settled in, I wouldn't start looking to my church, to my pastor, or whatever, to feed me spiritually.
Exactly.
That I would know how to do that for myself.
And
like I said, I mean, that fellowship is very important. But when you can't have it, at least you got Jesus, you know.
Yeah.
So
and
that
also,
that's really, yeah.
When we learn to do it on our own and be fed on our own through the Word, we're able
mm-hmm.
to go to church and also to be able to give, not just take then.
Right.
So,
Got to have something in, you know, in your spirit to be able to share with others.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm convinced that, I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
No.
Okay, well, I'm convinced that once you get to a certain place in your walk with the Lord, that you can't even just take anymore. You have to start to learn how to give whatever you're taking in. At a certain point, it's like the Lord is saying, you know, you need to share this. You can't just sit there and,
exactly.
and, yeah, you have to give.
Yeah. I believe, you know, when you do get to that point, you know, you just can't help yourself but to just give instead of receiving all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she does say that, you know, when you are a wife,
mm-hmm.
no greater ministry is to pray for and minister to your husband by your living, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true, because that's really, once I got the understanding of that, yes, my family is my ministry. When I knew I couldn't go and fellowship at a church, and when I knew I couldn't get involved in ministry like I would have liked to in another church.
Mm-hmm.
Not until I really saw that, you know, this is my ministry that God gave me, and this is where I need to be. You know, this is my ministry. You know, so until I saw that, I was able to start living, you know, digging into the Word and in prayer and living the life that God wanted me to be who I needed to be as a wife. Well, I think, honestly, the men and women are just made so differently. And not that I
mm-hmm.
don't think women should be out in the workforce and working, but I think
mm-hmm.
it's the women's main responsibility to take
mm-hmm.
care of the home, you know, the dishes
mm-hmm.
and the cleaning, the laundry. But I believe, just like, you know, she had talked about in the past chapters, once you are being what you need to be as a wife, you allow your husband to be who he needs to be, and he will be more than happy to pitch in where needed, you know. And
mm-hmm.
if he's not, then there needs to be some communication, you know.
Right.
If you're needing help, and then if there's not the communication, then you're going to have, you're going to start to get bitter and resentful that he's not helping out, of course, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it really all boils down to still us, I think, just being who God calls us to be as women.
Mm-hmm.
And once we just, if we just focus on that, our husbands are going to
mm-hmm.
be more than happy to help out where needed.
I think you're absolutely
right. Not that he's taboo. It's not his job and it's not his responsibility, because ultimately
mm-hmm.
it's the wife and the husband's responsibility to take care of the home together. But we're the main nurturers. We're the main ones that, you know, think about those
things
first. We're the ones that God made adaptable, you know.
Right.
And,
that's
and,
right, yeah.
So.
You're absolutely right. Even though, you know, like you're saying, that it's not as if the man is not capable of doing those things.
Right.
And, you know, there are some families where the man might do all those things and the woman works, but that's a whole different story. So, but, you know, like you said, we are the, it kind of comes more natural, I think, to most women.
Yeah,
to clean and, I mean, when I clean, I know I don't clean like my husband does, because I'm concerned about, like, the corners and getting all the dust bunnies out of the, you know, everything. He didn't care about all that stuff. So, I mean, he's just like, throw a load in the laundry and turn it on. He doesn't separate the colors from the whites. So, you know, I mean, we all have different ways of, I mean, our husband is not going to do things the way we do, because we're more nurturing and we look for the details, because most of us are detail-oriented and we know our homes better than our husbands do. Sorry.
A lot of times they don't care much about what we really put care into.
Exactly.
So,
You know, I mean, now with cooking meals, I don't know, my husband's pretty good with that, so. I do the majority of the cooking, of course. I happen to be at home most of the time because I do work from home. So I'm cooking, you know, he does the weekends. But so one of the last things I want to bring up in Chapter 8, she says, do not let your marriage relationship become old hat just because you begin to understand your husband better. She talks about giving your husband honor and really looking at him as, you know, in adoration of your husband.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of us have to work on that, but it can be done. You know, the more we begin to love our husband and really appreciate and respect who he is, then we can start to adore him and say, yeah, I really do appreciate you. And, you know, our love is new every morning. And we have to really put ourselves mentally in a place where we can do that, because it's so easy to start to just start to feel like it's getting old or something.
Yeah.
And that's what the enemy wants anyway. He wants us to feel that way. But the Lord gives us a way out of that.
Yeah, I know for me, I was going to say it all really starts with your communication. You know, we as women should start in our communication to speak with respect and speak you know, with others, you know, honoring things about him, not, you know, talking down about him or anything. And
That's so true.
It all starts in our communication. But then also for me, I know in order for me to start changing in this area myself, because I know I really needed to change in this area. And, you know, it's still a continuing, you know, daily thing that's going to forever be there, I'm sure. But I've had to go to God in prayer a lot of times to really learn to focus on the good and the honorable things in my husband instead of, you know, the little nitpicky things that, you know, get to me, you know.
Yeah.
So, and not until I went to God in prayer again was I able to start seeing all the great things about my husband and really be able to, you know, reflect on those things more so than the negative things.
So,
it all boils down to your personal relationship with God and bringing things, you know, not being afraid to bring things to God in prayer and learning to claim the word when God promises, you know, to have a better marriage and if you just live your life as God intends you to.
I like what you just said about making sure that your words that you speak about your husband are respectable. And I think it's important to not, when you get around friends and or relatives or whoever, but mainly, you know, how we can be if we get around our girlfriends or whatever, and just start talking. Well, make sure we don't bring up our husbands in a negative light. You know, there's nothing more damaging to our husbands than to know that we're off with our girlfriends talking about him in a bad way, and it doesn't make him feel like he's worth very much to you if you can't, you know, speak up for him and respect him around other people. That's behind his back and in front of him.
Yeah.
And also, I know a lot of women who talk down to their husbands in front of others, and it's really embarrassing for everybody who's sitting there and hearing her talk down at her husband, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, that it's not pretty. It's not cute. Nobody likes it, and it just makes everyone feel uncomfortable.
We actually went to a restaurant last weekend after church, and there was an older couple where the woman was just yelling at her husband, and there's like,
oh my goodness,
me and my husband and a couple other tables right around us that are just, oh my gosh, just looking like, when is she going to stop?
Wow.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
Oh my gosh. And there is that scripture in Proverbs that talks about the woman being, you know, the woman who's always nagging, and it's better for her husband to be sitting up on the rooftop in the corner than to be in the house with her, because her mouth is always, you know, moving. And she always has something negative to say at him,
woman.
And that just wears at his spirit.
Exactly.
And so we understand our man, and we understand that his spirit was meant to be built up, encouraged, and motivated, and that our words are so powerful, and that when we speak something over our husband or to our husband, we're really either building him up or pulling him down. that we have that much influence over our spouse, then that's when we have the responsibility to kind of follow through on that and start to do what's right with our tongue. And God's going to hold us responsible for that when we stand before Him. So we have to do what's right for our husbands. The next couple of chapters, we're going to talk about our children, parenting. So that's going to be chapters 9 through the end of the book, really. We'll be finished soon. And but that was really good. I enjoyed this, talking with you.
That was.
Yeah. So it's really great. Well, we're going to end this segment, and you can visit Lori also at her website. She has some great resources for women. So it's Christian Women's Resources.com.
Women with an S, MOMENS, Resources.com.
S. Okay, Christian Women's Resources.com. And we'll have a link for that also in our newsletters. I believe the last time I sent out a newsletter, I didn't put the S there, but it's Christian Women's Resources.com. So, well, we'll talk with everyone next week. And hopefully those of you who haven't purchased the book yet, maybe you can get a hold of the book and you'll be able to follow along with us on the next couple of chapters. So thank you for listening, and thank you, Lori, for being with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. This is a lot of fun.